I have been thinking for the last few weeks, probably you have too, of the changes that can come into our life, seems so quickly. You know, what is it? Two weeks ago today, I believe it was, that Sister Maxine was here and preached her message. And you know, at the end of that, when she was about to leave, she said, "I believe this will be my last one." Like she had a premonition. And I think of, for us, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But you know, she had several messages that talked about our cross. And what was her last one? The unexpected cross. The ones that we didn't really know it was going to happen today. But to believe that God is still in control of it. So with those thoughts, I have a title that I'd like to share with you today. And that is, Prepare for Landing. If you took I think every flight that you take on an airplane, it will say at the beginning of it, prepare for takeoff. There's some things you need to do to be ready. There's also at the end of it, you're coming in close now to your destination. And before landing, they will say, prepare for landing. And when I went to India, on the way back, it was a 14 and a half hour flight. Just one of the flights were. And they have this little monitor that you can watch. You can see the map. You can see where you are in relation to the map. It'll tell you how many miles you've gone, how many miles you still have to go, how many hours you have flown, and how many hours you have left to fly. And you know, by the time we get to the halfway mark of 7 hours, I think I'm about through with all I can stand. And I look on there and it says, yep, you've only got 7 and a half more hours to get there. And you can watch that. And you know, it was a real good feeling when it said, you've got 20 minutes left. Prepare for landing. Get ready. This trip is almost over. You know, I thought about that. We don't get that same privilege in life very often. Not many people get the call, prepare for landing. Your soul on the other side into eternity, get ready for it because it's about to happen. So I want to look at that for a little while today. For each of us to prepare for landing, it can't be just, okay, I know I have 30 minutes left of my life, so I will prepare. It's for us to stay prepared every day for when it may be. So I want to start with a verse in Matthew 24. And 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come for us. You know, this is probably talking about the end of all things, the end of time, him coming. But for each person that's died, this has happened. You know not what hour your Lord will come for you. So we want to be ready. It says, know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I think about this with our subject today. If I knew I had 30 minutes before landing my soul on the other side, what would I need to make any adjustments for? If the goodman of the house had known in 30 minutes the thief would have come, he would have made preparations for it to where he could have been ready. But it says, therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. At a time when maybe we least expect it, something could happen that takes us out into eternity. So I want to be prepared for that landing of my soul on the other side. And I saw this song with D.O. Teasley. He had a song that he wrote, Drifting Away from Jesus. And when I look at, you know, we get to look at the other side of his life now. And when I look at that, he was probably writing it as an inspiration from God for a sinner or a Christian that is drifting from Jesus and needs to come back. You know, I just wonder, looking back now at what we know, I wonder if that was a message from God for D.O. Teasley. And he thought it was for someone else. You know, it's going to be real important for us when the Lord comes along and visits. You know, he could give me a message. And I say, yep, I need to give that next Sunday morning. It's going to be good for somebody. But you know what? That message may be sent for me. So I think of the messages that were sent for D.O. Teasley. You know that song, 409, Eternity? Such a solemn song, and was given to him to help him to prepare for the landing of his soul whenever it came to an end. But here's this song. It says, soon I shall land forever, somewhere I know not where. I thought, now that would be one sad preparation for landing. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, I don't want my landing to be a crash landing where they say there were no survivors. It can be different than that for us. It can be different than that for me. And I want it to be. There was another song that was written that says, there light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. There's no crashing here of death and eternity. It's just a blending. There's just a little step from here to the other side. I want it to be that way. To do that, I need to have some preparations. I need to make some adjustments. There's a verse of song that says, never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done until you have got the crown. So I don't want to come to a place where I'm relaxed. I'm walking close to the Lord. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to make it. Don't think the victory's won until I finish this landing over on the other side in heaven. So I was thinking of, there's verses in the Bible that will give me the advantage of being able to be prepared for that time when I'm called to land on the other side. One of those is in Colossians, the third chapter. There are things that I can do on this side to help me to be ready for that call. Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if I've got plans to land safely in heaven, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here's some things that will give me an advantage of being ready when my soul will be landed on the other side. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for your life is hid. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Some of you may remember, Brother Marty told us a story of him going to a hospital in maybe West Virginia and meeting a man there that was really upbeat, even though he had a serious illness. He had cancer. And he said that the man was so upbeat, the man told him, I've beat cancer before. We're going to beat it again. Let's talk fishing. He loved to fish. Let's talk about temporal things because we're going to beat this problem that I have right here. And so Brother Marty would go back and see him at different times over the next few days. But one day he went to see him. And it was different. He had just been told, we have done all we can do. And you have a short time to live. And it said he was like so stunned that he just stared at the ceiling. And I think about that. You know, all of us are going to be called out of here one day. I do not want to be unprepared. We're going to land just like D.O. Teasley wrote. I'm going to land somewhere. I don't want it to be, I don't know. It's a flip of the coin whether I make heaven or whether I'm lost. It can be so much better than that. In Revelations 22, and right at the end, 20th and 21st verse, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Right today, if he told each of us that, if he came to me and said, Dan, I tell you what, I'm coming quickly. John answered that right back again to him. He didn't say, okay, hold on. If this is going to be quickly, if you're about to come for me, I know there's some things in my life that I need to take care of. Would you wait a while? He didn't say that. When Jesus said, surely I come quickly, John answered right back, even so come, Lord Jesus. I am ready to be able to meet you. To do that, I've got to make some preparations for this time when my soul is called out of here. So I want to go back to this verse in Matthew 24 and 45. Because it's telling us in the 44th verse, be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. But then that 45th verse. Who is a wise and faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know, I want to be in the so doing category when I am called to leave out of here. The things that I know that God wants me to do, I'm just doing them every day, because realizing one day I'm going to be called to land my soul over on the other side, and I want to be ready. We can be ready. So to be able to keep the balance, how do I do it? Between seeking things above and yet living down here beneath. Because you know what? Tomorrow morning, I plan to go back to work again. I have a home. I have a car. I have temporal things. How do I balance those things out? There's something that I need to always keep in mind. There's an appointment made for me one day. It's in Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I have an appointment. I don't know what day it is. So I need to prepare for that landing of my soul over in eternity. I want to make heaven my home. So to be able to balance it all, there's a verse that I want us to look at. We've read this so many times, but sometimes we just need to be able to be reminded, how do I balance life here? In Luke 12 and 15. Take heed. You know, that's a little two words for each of us. Take heed to ourselves. Take heed and beware of covetousness. You know, that's something that can affect each one of us. Just a desire for more and more. You know, I could say, you know what? I don't want all the land in the world to own it. I would just like to buy that piece of property that joins mine. And so I buy it. And then I only want to buy that piece that joins mine. You remember with Ahab, whenever he came to Naboth, Naboth had a vineyard. Ahab wasn't saying, I want to buy all of Jerusalem. I just want to buy that vineyard that is right next to mine. This tells us, take heed and beware of covetousness. And you know, probably, what does it say? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. These are one of the places where we need the Lord to say to us, whenever I'm realizing, you know, there's coming a time when my soul is going to land on the other side somewhere. Lord, I want you to lead and guide me. Lord, I want you, as I'm dealing in temporal affairs and yet wanting to set my affections on things above, how do I find a balance? Take heed and beware of covetousness. Remember this, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. For me to just always, as I'm finding the balance between life and spiritual things, having a heart that's balanced, I need to remember this. My life does not consist in the abundance of the things that I possess. Because one day, I will breathe one more breath and I will leave it all behind. I have watched people as they get down close to this landing of their soul on the other side. Death is close. They have some temporal things. But you know, those temporal things, to some people that realize what eternity is like, those temporal things get to where they mean nothing to them. Dad used to have some hobbies. He loved to work on small engines. He would have lawnmowers. He would have a little thing with parts in it, just to where he could repair a lawnmower quick, didn't have to go down and buy parts. He loved that. You know what? It came down to the point where he was realizing, you know what? I'm soon going to leave here. I won't be here long. You could have gone in there and said, Dad, I'm going to take all your parts. I want them. And you know what? He had said, go ahead and take them, because I don't need them. I'm going to soon be out of here. For us to be able to live life with a balance, because this next story tells us about a man that was not able to keep the balance. And what I want to do from that is learn, what does it say? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. This next story, I think, is instruction in righteousness for me. How to balance temporal things and make heaven my home. He spake unto them, 16th verse, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. At what point in here could we say this man headed in the wrong direction? He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Has he sinned yet? Is he at the fool category yet? God called him a fool. I don't think it's yet. I think what happens is in the next verse, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I think that's the danger point for us, is to realize how much we need the Lord and find a balance. But God said to him, thou fool. What does it say? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. It's what he does with those things. It's what's important. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, there's tips for me to be able to balance life here. And there's a verse that I'd like for us to look over in James, the 4th chapter. Because we will be doing temporal things. We will be doing business matters. And in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of James, 13th verse, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, we all do that. We make plans for what we're going to do this week and next week and on out into the future. But it says, here's what we need to be doing as I make plans. You know, we're just not very far into 2025, and we can have plans for what we're going to do. I can even be planning, you know, Monarch is always the third Friday of July. I've already made plans that I'm going to take off for that week and go to Monarch. Other things there's nothing wrong with those plans that we make. But here's what it says. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So what do we do with that information? It tells us in the next verse, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that. What happens when I start living in a place that I realize, you know what, if the Lord's willing, I will do that next week. But you know what, if he's not willing, he's got so many options available to him to be able to change my plans and the directions that I wanted. So it's important for me to realize, as I'm looking for tools to help me balance this life, is to realize that the thoughts that I have, the plans that I have for this next year, just to realize in those, that's only going to happen if the Lord wills it. It could change so quickly. There's another verse in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, none of us, I think, would boast ourselves of tomorrow. We wouldn't say, I'll tell you what, I've got tomorrow in a bag. All of us realize, you know what, I could go out of here in the next minute. But we still make plans for tomorrow, and I get to thinking almost as if I have tomorrow. I got the calendar. It's fresh. I can make plans for tomorrow, and I plan to do those things tomorrow. But I need to, what I say, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Keeping all those things in our mind. Hezekiah received a visit from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah had a message from God for Hezekiah. And this was his message. Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. You know, what all would need to be taken care of once I hear that message? If I got the message that said, Dan, set your house in order, that's more than just, okay, go sell your house and put it all together for your children. There's something more to that. Setting my house in order is take care of my spiritual things are the most important. Set it in order. Because you're going to die. And what did Hezekiah had lived so close to the Lord that he turned his face to the wall, he wept, and he prayed something like this. Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart. You know, he's just passing back to the Lord, okay, Lord, I've gotten this news that I'm soon out of here. Lord, I just want to remind you, Lord, I've been walking before you with a perfect heart. And you know, the Lord knew that himself. And the Lord, what did he do? Stopped Isaiah in the courtyard and turned him around and sent him back and said, tell Hezekiah I'm going to add 15 years onto his life. There's something we need to realize. You know, we would think, okay, Sister Maxine is decreasing in health. She will be gone soon unless God says otherwise. I saw that happen several times with Dad. He would get down to the place he was on hospice. They would call all of us children together one morning and say, we believe today is going to be his last day. He will be gone from here. And we'd all meet together and you were sad, here's going to happen. And the Lord would touch him to where the next morning he could be out there working on lawnmowers. They put him off of hospice. You know, on hospice, you're supposed to die within a certain amount of months. And if you don't, you need to get bumped off. I think he got bumped off twice. It was his third visit before the Lord finally called him home. What that tells me is those things, those decisions are in God's hands. You know, we even did it with Cheryl. Cheryl would ask hospice, tell me something. Do you think it will be right away before I'm called out of here? And you know what? Hospice was real smart. They would say, you know what? That choice is in God's hands right there. We're not touching that part right there. We're just telling you how your health is today. Well, for us to live in a way to where when that call does come for me, then you're soon to be moved over on the other side, that I would be ready. There's a song that says, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. We don't have to live trying to be ready for eternity. Does not mean that we have to be all sad walking through life. What it is, you know, I feel better whenever I look at my checkbook and I see it's not in the red. I mean, I don't mean red ink. There's nothing there. I like to see when it has a little balance there. You know, we can build up a balance in walking with the Lord. Not self-confidence, but being able to walk close to God to where we don't have to fear every day. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. The devil would like to bring those kind of fears to us. But there's something else that we need to take a look at. I want to take a look at in my own life. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I can turn that verse around and say, you can tell where your heart is by where your treasure is. And I want to be able to be real careful. Set my affections on things above, not on things of the earth. It doesn't mean I don't own anything on this earth, but I don't have my affections set on those. You know how you can best tell, and we don't want to have to do it this way, how I can best tell where my affections are is when I lose it. When I lose those things that gave me stability, where are my affections? You know what? When my affections are centered on things above, I just go back to the Lord and say, Lord, these things are gone now, but you can help me out in the future, and he will do that. Talk about treasure and where their heart is. There was a woman in the scriptures. It's in Acts, the 9th chapter. Her name was Dorcas. And if someone were to try to describe me by where my treasure is and by where my heart is and how I've been living, what would they describe it? Hers was described this way. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. That's just the clip that talked about her. Now, can I be saved? Can it benefit me to have a lot of good works? Will it help me to make heaven my home? There's a scripture I need to remember in Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift that comes from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I won't be able to do enough works to gain heaven by itself. But there is a verse, it's in the 10th verse of Ephesians 2. It says, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Living for Christ, the good works just follow. And that, I believe that's what happened with Dorcas, was just good works just flowed out of her life. And when she died, and they went to visit her, I think it was Peter went, and it said he saw the widows weeping and showing the coats and the garments. You know, she wasn't just telling people by words, you know, be warm and filled. She was going out and doing things to be able to help them be changed. So I look at a verse in Matthew 25, because how do I balance my life? You know, I really want to have things balanced on the day that I hear, Dan, prepare for landing. It's coming soon. Well, I need to prepare for landing my soul over there today. Here's a place in Matthew 25 and 34. You know, I'd like to be able to hear this at the end of my life. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Boy, that's something I'd sure like to hear right at the end. You're blessed of your Father, of my Father. And how does that happen? Here's some of the things. Here's some of the ingredients for it. I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. In this story of Dorcas, I believe she didn't tell people. She didn't blow a trumpet and say, I want y'all to see this garment that I'm giving somebody. She just went about her life, was full of good works. And I don't think she did it that if I make this other garment, I'll secure heaven a little bit better. It's just what flowed out of her life. And I want that to happen in mine. It says in Galatians 6 and 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. I want to have a heart like Dorcas. You know, I think she could just see it's a cold day today. I've already made up some garments of some different sizes, and I'm just watching to see who would need another one. And I see this person, and I give it to them, and I'm going to replenish my stock. I can just see somebody that, and I want to be that way myself. Lord, help me as I go through my days. When I'm seeking those things which are above, help me to be looking around me. Is there someone else? I don't want to spend the rest of my days just turned, my focus is turned to me. What will make me the most comfortable? I want to realize, you know what? I need to prepare for landing. And that is to have a heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want God to be able to see that my treasure is over on the other side. And I want him to be able to help me to be able to balance it. There is one more story, because, you know, this one goes on down. He tells them there's some people that are blessed. And then it said, those on the left hand, he said, depart from me. I don't want to hear that. And you know, the reason they were to depart was for the same reason, the opposite reason that the others were blessed. I was hungry and you didn't give me meat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I want to take that as a warning for myself. Lord, I can go through life just thinking about tomorrow. I'd like to make my life easy. Or I could say, Lord, there is people around you. Would you open a door for me to be able to help someone else? That would be my heart. Because I want to contrast Dorcas's story with a man that did not have good landing. It says, there was a certain rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. This is in Luke 16 and 19. He had whatever he wanted. He could just get it. He had the money to be able to buy it. He could make himself more comfortable. He could take care of himself. But let's remember this other thing that says, there's some things that I need to do to be in the blessed category. I need to be looking for somebody else that's in need. What does this say? He fared sumptuously every day, but there was one other thing about him. He had a beggar that laid at his gate that had a lot of needs. A beggar that didn't just tell him, I want to eat like you eat. He just desired if there would be just whatever comes off your table, the crumbs that would fall to the floor. If you have anything for me, I'd sure appreciate it. You know, the rich man, he just was able to just bring in things for himself. It didn't say that he illegally got the things. It just tells us the facts of what happened. It just inserts in here this little piece. There happened to be somebody that he saw at his gate every time he left and when he came back again. And then it says the beggar died and the rich man died. Souls are being landed on the other side now. You know, there's a funeral, maybe for both. Maybe the beggar didn't even hardly have one. I can just imagine in my mind that rich man probably had a lot of people that said, this man has had success in his life. And I could just picture the funeral and maybe the minister or whatever is saying, I want to tell you, this was one successful man. He was able to touch things and they prospered for him. He had a wonderful life. But we don't get to see on the other side of it. But this probably is the story that gives us more detail about the other side than anything else does. It says, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I went yesterday to the cemetery. You know, over the world today, there are millions of grave sites. In the cemetery there in Guthrie, I don't know how many, maybe thousands there are in that cemetery. And you know, when you stop and you get real quiet and you get to thinking, all of these people are in one of two places. It's not there's third place, fourth place, fifth place. If you had more money, you get this one. You can be prayed out of purgatory. No, there's two places. And that's decided when I breathe my last breath. You know, it kind of brings it down a little bit more serious to me. Lord, I want to be able to keep things in balance. There are some verses, Proverbs 23 and 5. It says, will you set your eyes upon that which is not? Riches can make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle to heaven. If it doesn't do it in our life, our riches are going to be left behind at our death. There's another verse in Psalm 62 and 10. It says, if your riches increase, just don't set your heart on it. Don't let that become where my affections are. It's going to take the Lord to be able to help us to find this balance in our life, but he can do it. Remember the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and he said, I want to have a good landing on the other side. What can I do that I can have eternal life? Every one of us want to be able to have it. And Jesus talked to him. And you know, he walked away sorrowful because he had many possessions. And Jesus said something. How hardly are rich people going to be able to make heaven their home? Why is that? Because you know what? As my riches increase, my dependence on the Lord can decrease. But it doesn't have to. Lord, may we each one be able to walk in a way that's acceptable to him. Let me show the Lord and those around me my affections are on the other side. Yes, I go to work every day. I have temporal things, but I don't want to let my heart be set on those things. In Deuteronomy 8 and 10, it says, when you have eaten and are full, what you going to do? Bless God. It's saying, here's the instruction for you. He said, I have given you, you know, they went into the Canaan land and he said, I'm going to give you houses and vineyards that you didn't even have to build. All you have to do is just move into them. But be real careful because it's going to do something to your heart if you're not careful. It says, when you've eaten and you're full, bless God. But then it goes on down in the eighth chapter and the 11th verse. Here's when things have gotten well for us. Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. 12th verse, lest when you have eaten and are full, you build goodly houses and you dwell therein. When your herds and your flocks multiply, silver and gold is multiplied. All that you have is multiplied. You know, here's a danger. It's like a flashing light for me landing safely on the other side in heaven. Then your heart gets lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. And it goes on down in the 16th verse, in the 17th verse. And here's what happens when I forget, and you say in your heart, my power, you know, I wouldn't say that out loud to anybody. My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You know, if I could remember, yes, maybe things go successful for me, but it's because God helps me to be able to get up in the morning with strength to be able to go out there and work. And so I want to be constantly giving everything back, praises back to God for what he has done. Remember, the Lord thy God is he that hath given thee power to get wealth. Lord, help us to walk with a carefulness. And it talks about us learning to be content with the things that we have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we're going to carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You know, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's not just talking about money, nor is it talking about when I'm in Oklahoma, I'm content, but maybe another state I'm not. Whatever is happening in my life, I learn to be contented with those. Does it mean I just love this trouble happening in my life? No, I think what it means is like Daniel did when he saw that the lion's den was looming ahead of him. What he was contented with is God is still with me. We sing a song that says, though I walk in ways unknown, I'm never left alone, for the Lord will not forsake me while I do his will. We can be contented in the fact that he is with me still. I'm thankful for that. There's another song in 275. With a desire for the Lord to keep me. It says, in this wicked world am I. Watch thou over me from on high. Keep my soul, lest I should be led astray, O Lord, from thee. These temporal things are having a pull. They're drawing like a magnet. They can lead us astray from the Lord. And then, all I am or hope to be, I commit it, dear Lord, to thee. Preserve me in thy love till I reach thy courts above. When I have that landing on the other side, I want it to be heaven, my home, and I want us each one to be able to make it. I desire your prayers because you know what? It tells us we need to be saying, we need to really be more than just saying it out loud. We need to be having it in our heart. Tomorrow, if the Lord wills, I will be doing this. Health can change. So many things can change. When the Great Depression came, there were people that were wealthy, had great wealth one day, and it was gone the next day. At that time, you could find where people's heart was. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love the stories of people that went from huge wealth to zero and then went back out starting doing just whatever work they could do and built it back again. There were others that you could find their heart was set on their wealth, and when it was gone, they committed suicide. For us today, I want us each one to have a safe landing on the other side. Make heaven our home. Let's search the scriptures. There are many things that will give us instruction of how that can happen, and I want it to be. Let's, if we can stand and sing number 275.